2 Kings chapter 4. And our text for this evening is the opening verse. Indeed, we'll be concentrating on the opening verse tonight. And I have entitled the message this evening, Bearing a Heavy Cross. Bearing a Heavy Cross. One day the Savior said to His disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. On another occasion, previous to this, the Lord again, addressing his disciples and others who were gathered around him, he said, And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And so we can see in the words of the Savior that being a follower of Christ or a disciple of the Lord means bearing a cross. Cross bearing is synonymous with discipleship. We think of the words of the hymn, Take up thy cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all? And among the followers of the Lord Jesus, some have had a very heavy cross to bear. For some, it has been a cross of sickness. I know one man in my former congregation in Ulster, and all the days I have known him, he has been a very sick man, and he still is. And of course, the years have taken their toll upon him. And I've never known him to be free of sickness. And his wife has had to care for him in many ways. He has had a heavy cross to bear. Cross of sickness, as have others. They've been hospitalized or bedridden or plagued with their often bodily infirmities. They've hardly known a day of good health in their life. That's been a heavy cross. For others, the cross of sorrow never seems to have been off their shoulder. Their pillow has often been wet with tears as they mourn the loss, perhaps of children, or their spouse, or their parents. And then others have felt the weight of the cross of suffering. They've seldom had any relief from physical or even mental pain. Sometimes carrying that cross of sickness, of sorrow and suffering can drive a person to the depths of despair, longing for the day when they can find relief. For they are, in many ways, at their wits' end. Elisha met such a woman one day. A woman indeed who, according to verse 1, had a very heavy cross to bear. For her it was this cross of sorrow. Cross of suffering. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. So he knew God. He was a servant of the Lord. And the woman goes on to say, the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bought then. So she not only lost her husband, she was about to lose her two sons. And as well as that, she had nothing in the house. As we would say, she hadn't a penny to her name. She was bearing indeed a very heavy cross. And when we find ourselves in such circumstances, whether it is a cross of suffering, or a cross of sickness, or a cross of sorrow, or even a cross of poverty, there's only one thing we can do. There's only one thing for this woman to do, and that was to go to Elisha and to cry out to him for help. Well, we have one who is greater than Elisha. One who is greater than Solomon. That one, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows all about cross bearing. His indeed was the cross of sorrow. His was the cross of suffering. His also was the cross of shame. His was a heavy cross. And so when we are called upon to bear a heavy cross as the disciples of the Lord, we know that Christ understands. And it is to him we look, the sympathizing Jesus. As the psalmist said, in the day of my trouble, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. How often have we done that? In the day of our trouble, have we sought the Lord? Psalm 77 and verse 2. And so today or tonight, I want to consider the bearing of a heavy cross. And next week, as we will be looking at this woman again, our subject for next week will be being at wit's end corner. You know, when you get to your wit's end, you don't know what to do and you don't know where to turn to. This woman was at wit's end corner. But tonight I want to consider this woman and her bearing of a heavy cross. First of all, we see this woman and her great poverty. This woman and her great poverty. We're here told, first of all, about a certain woman who bore a heavy cross. First thing we notice about her is her desperation. Her desperation. For the opening verse of this chapter in our text for this evening tells us something about her desperation because of her great poverty. She had nothing. And she didn't even have the husband whom she could share her burden with. This was a burden that she carried alone. This was a cross that she carried by herself. First of all, regarding this woman and her desperation, we notice her contact. The person who made contact with Elisha is simply described as a certain woman. A certain woman. Her name is not given. She's an unnamed, unknown, anonymous woman in Israel who bore a heavy cross. And like so many today, so many people unknown to us and unknown to others, and they bear a very heavy cross and have done so for years. And they're the only one knows how heavy that cross is, because they've borne the weight of it for many years. Like the man spoken of in John chapter 5. For in John chapter 5, read there about a man who lay by the pool of Bethesda. And we are told in verse 3 of John 5, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Impotent folk are blind and halt and withered. We have individuals who were bearing heavy crosses. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Verse 5. And a certain man, once again, his name's not given. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. For 38 years this man had borne this cross. A cross for 38 years, a cross of sickness. And when you look at this incident, we find that he had no friends. However long he lay at the pool of Bethesda, he said, I have no man to put me into the water. And so here was a man who had an infirmity for 38 years, and he had nobody to share that burden with. He had nobody to help lighten that burden or carry that cross for him. And he bore the cross for 38 years. That is, until Jesus came. And you know, there are many like this particular man. They suffer. And they've suffered for many years. And they've suffered some sickness. And they long for the day when they can enjoy good health. He suffered for 38 years. In Mark chapter 5, in verses 25 and 26, we read there about a woman who had suffered for 12 years. For in Mark 5 and verse 25, and a certain woman, name not given again. And here you have these unknowns that we come across in Scripture. And they have their own secret burdens. And their own heavy burdens. And their heart is breaking, and nobody knows. And there are many like that today, and there are many like that in our congregations. And I have found in all the years of my ministry, whenever I have dealt with subjects like this, there have been people met me at the door and have said, that was a word for me. Like the king of Samaria, when the city was under siege, and people were dying of hunger and starvation, and two mothers covenanted to kill their children and eat the flesh of their children. And when one of the mothers came to the king, he was so troubled, he tore off his kingly garments, a symbol of great sorrow. He tore his kingly garments, and underneath those garments were the garments of mourning. And the king went about the city in his royal robes, and the people looked upon him, and they thought that he didn't care about them. But when he tore off his kingly robes, underneath were the robes of mourning. This king had a secret burden that nobody knew about until that mother came to him and complained about the other mother. He had a hidden burden. You know, there are many like that today, and they've got hidden burdens. They wear sackcloth within upon their flesh, and they have a smile upon their face, like that actor that died a few weeks ago. And he acted as a funny man. But after he committed suicide, it was discovered that he suffered from deep depression. He had a smile on his face, but he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. And nobody knew until after he was gone. And this man led the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And nobody really knew or understood, because he didn't have a friend in the world. And in Mark 5, we read in a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She was at the end of her tether. She was at her wit's end. And just like the widow that cried out to Elisha, she was also at her wit's end. We have the contact, and then we have her cry. For once more we are informed, now there cried a certain woman. That is, she cried out to Elisha. But I would have no doubt that this dear woman who had lost her husband and was told that she was going to lose her two sons, I would have no doubt that that woman cried many a hot, bitter tear in her home at night. Oh yes, she cried out to Elisha. But no doubt she cried often in the night season, wishing she had her husband there to share the burden with. Seeing him gone, seeing his empty chair in the home, and looking upon her two sons, and believing they were going to be taken from her as well. She bore and carried a heavy, heavy cross. And there are many who are called upon to bear a heavy cross today. You know, the dear Savior has heard many a cry of desperation. Many a cry from individuals whose cross has been almost too heavy to bear. You remember Peter, the words of Peter, as he walked upon the water and then saw the waves, and it says he began to sink. He was sinking beneath the waves. And he cried out to the Lord, Lord, save me. The words that are written about Peter could be written about many an individual. They're sinking beneath the waves of their problems and their pain. They're sinking beneath the waves of sorrow and suffering and sickness. And they cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me. They bear a heavy cross, and there is only one who can lighten that cross, as so many have found. Matthew 9, verse 27, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And praise God, that cry of desperation was heard by the Lord, and the Lord gave them their sight. And then there was the cry of desperation that came from the lips of a father when he came to the Lord one day, and straightway the father of the child cried out. It was a cry of desperation. The devil was trying to destroy his son. And he cried out in desperation and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. The Lord heard his despairing cry and healed his son. It is often when we are indeed at our wit's end. Very often it is when we're at the point where we can go no further. And we're sinking beneath the waves of all our troubles. It's then that we really cry out in desperation. And it's then that the Lord answers. Like I told you a few months ago about that mother and father who had a daughter, I think she was about 12 or 13, and she had some skin disease. And every night she just shed her skin. And they'd been to doctors and physicians and all kinds of individuals and tried everything. And their poor daughter just suffered on and suffered on. And of course the parents suffered with her. Until one night, Mum and Dad said, we can't go on like this. And they got down before the Lord. And they poured their hearts out to the Lord. They were at their wit's end. And they cried to God in their desperation to heal their daughter. And from that night, that young woman's health changed. And she was cured of the problem that she had. Cried in desperation. Couldn't go any further. So it is with this woman in 2 Kings 4. Then, now their cry, the certain woman, it was the cry of desperation. So we have noticed then her cry and her contact. Notice also her calling. This poor widow is only identified as a certain woman of the wives, of the sons, of the prophets. There's her calling. She was a child of God. She was a wife of one of the sons of the prophets. She was married to one of the sons of the prophets. And we're told he was a man who did fear the Lord. See, Christians are not exempt from sickness. And here was a woman who lost her husband, and from what we can see, he died at an early age. Because the two sons were still living at home with the mother. So she and her husband belonged to the Lord and served him, yet she suffered great poverty. I wonder what these modern day preachers, these men who preach a prosperity gospel, would have to say about this widow woman. She was a child of God. She served the Lord. And yet here we see she was in great poverty. She was poor. Perhaps this woman and her husband had given their all to the Lord. They had given everything they had to the Lord, just as Paul did. Turn to 2 Timothy 4. In 2 Timothy 4, as we know, this is the last inspired letter that Paul wrote. He's in prison. He says, the day of my departure is at hand. It's even at my elbow. And he has a word for Timothy. Verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And then he says in verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. There's Paul, and he's in prison. And the hour of his departure is drawing near. And he doesn't even have a coat to cover his back. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, bring with thee. I don't even have a coat to put on. And the prison that Paul was in, as you and I know, wasn't centrally heated. More often than not, it's more or less just a hole in the ground. Jeremiah, when he was put down into the hole, he sunk down into the mire. That's what a prison was in those days. You see, Paul had given everything for the Lord. When God's servants struggle to make ends meet, the Lord knows about our circumstances. He said to the church at Smyrna, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. I know thy works, I know thy tribulation, and I know all about thy poverty. But then he says, but thou art rich. That is, they were rich toward God. And the Savior not only knows, but he understands. Because you see, the Lord Jesus knows what poverty is more than anybody. More than anybody. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. And there's Christ, the King of glory, sitting upon the throne in heaven. And he became poor. for our sakes. The Lord Jesus knows all about poverty. Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have their nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He didn't have a home. He often slept out in the open air during the night on the Mount of Olives. He didn't have a home. He didn't have a shekel to his name. Christ knows all about poverty. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There we read in verse 2. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Paul says, while they were poor, nevertheless they thought about others, and they were liberal, whatever they had. So there you have that dear woman and her desolation, or her desperation. We come now to this woman and her desolation. She was desperate. She lost a husband, was about to lose her children. Now we notice her desolation. Once again, we read the verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. It was a heavy cross, was it not? A heavy cross indeed. And only those who have suffered the loss of a husband or wife can understand the desolation that this woman must have felt. The cross of sorrow certainly is a heavy cross to bear. I remember a good number of years ago. Indeed, it was when the work down in Pennsylvania was starting. It started in Newtown Square. Reverend Ivan Foster was there for a number of months. And while he was there, he heard, whether it was on the radio or wherever, a man singing. And he was really impressed with this man's voice and how, with such sincerity, he sang the hymns. And he went to a record store and he asked the owner of the record store to get him all the records he could find of this man called Jack Holcomb. When Mr. Foster, who was my senior minister at that time, let me hear the record, I fell in love with this man singing as well. And I was just reading about his life just this past week. He was also the Reverend Jack Holcomb. He was an evangelist. And he was born in Texas, in Waco, Texas, and was called upon to bear the heavy cross of sorrow. Jack Holcomb's first wife died just a few years after their marriage. He remarried, but in 1953, his first child of 18 months died suddenly and unexpectedly. Jack Holcomb, as was said, was a beautiful gospel singer. And when his little girl died, he recorded the hymn, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Mr. Holcomb suffered from heart trouble on the 13th of July, 1968, at the age of just 47, he went home to be with the Lord. His wife Ellen was left penniless due to the enormous medical bill she had to pay during her husband's illness. She couldn't even afford a grave marker. So he lay in an unmarked grave until 2004, when some friends and neighbors got together, raised the money for a grave marker for Jack Holcomb. He had a heavy cross to bear. He was a child of God. He was an evangelist. He was a minister of the gospel. He was a beautiful tenor gospel singer. And yet he died penniless. He was like this woman here, in poverty. Think of it, his wife couldn't even purchase a marker. Never mind a headstone, just a marker to mark where her husband lay. We read of another widow who felt the desolation of the cross of sorrow. Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So she had lost both husband and son. What a heavy cross to bear. And much people of the city was with her. But look at the words of verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. It was amazing. I was actually reading that verse in preparation for the message tonight. I was actually reading that verse and I decided I'll check my email, and it was then that I got word from her sister in Switzerland. And in my reply to her, I told her about this verse, that here the Lord, when he saw her, had compassion on her. And what was she? She was a widow. And her sister had just been made a widow. But I said, the Lord sees you, and the Lord will have compassion on you, for you're not alone. The Lord has compassion on all who bear a heavy cross, because his cross was the heaviest of them all. And we're not talking about the weight of the wood. We're talking about the weight of our sins that were laid upon him. And all that that cross means is that Christ died to bear away all the sins of his people. And what a weight that must have been. We notice also her destitution. Like the Savior, Elisha had compassion on this poor widow. He asked her two questions, one of them being, tell me, what hast thou in the house? Two questions, verse 2. Yes, he said, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? What hast thou in the house? This dear woman didn't have to think long about that. She didn't have to think long about what was in the cupboards, because she replied immediately and said, thine handmaid hath not anything. I don't have a thing except one pot of oil. You know, sometimes somebody may come to your home unexpectedly, pay you a visit, and you say, dear me, I don't have a thing in the house. Well, you know, and I know, that's not strictly true. There's something there. You can always give them some toast and jam. There's something there. But for this woman, she says, I have nothing at all. She was destitute. All she said she had was a pot of oil. As we said before, perhaps this woman and her late husband had given everything in the service of the Lord. That she and her husband were completely sold out to God. And when her husband passed away, so the wage earner had passed away. And in Bible times, it was very difficult for widows. Very much so. In Luke 21, we read about a dear woman. And once again, I want you to notice. In Luke 21 and verse 2, and he saw. He saw. And again, it's a certain poor widow. It would be an interesting study, wouldn't it? The number of widows the Lord ministered to. Well, here is another. And in verse 2 of Luke 21, we read, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. In other words, she cast in the two mites and she had nothing left. There's nothing left. She had cast in all her living. That's someone who sold out to God. That is someone who certainly was a true disciple. That was someone who bore a heavy cross. The Savior was aware of the destitution, just as Elisha was aware of this plight, the plight of this widow woman. And when others don't know about our plight, they don't know about our pain, they don't know about our problems, they don't know about our poverty, Jesus knows. And he will lighten that heavy burden. And he will lighten that heavy cross. David said, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The Lord always comes. The Lord always meets the need. And David testified to that. He says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalm 37:25. There is a special word for all widows. Psalm 146:9. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widows. He relieveth the fatherless and the widows. In other words, he comes to their aid. And whether it is a cross, a heavy cross of sickness, the Lord will give grace to bear that cross, as he did to Paul when he sought the Lord 3 times to remove the thorn in the flesh. What did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient for thee. The Lord hasn't promised to remove the cross, but the Lord will certainly lighten the cross by his grace. Whether it's a cross of sickness, or a cross of sorrow, or a cross of suffering, then he knows all about it. Bearing a heavy cross. We'll look again at this woman next week, and as we've said, we'll consider her at wit's end corner. Sometimes we find ourselves at wit's end corner. We're just at our wit's end. But like the children of Israel, they've come out of Egypt, and there they are at the Red Sea. There's no going back, and there's no going forward. There's no turning to the side. They're at wit's end. What do we do? Of course, the Lord had the answer for Moses and for this woman who was at her wit's end. The Lord had the answer. He always does. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O loving and gracious Father, we bless and praise thee for the word, Lord, from which we can receive encouragement. We think, Lord, of the many today, and they're bearing a heavy cross. And they've had to bear that cross for many a year. And as the days go by, it doesn't seem to get any lighter. But, Lord, we know that thou will give the grace to bear the cross, no matter how heavy it is. Take up thy cross, the Savior said. And, O Lord, help us to bear the cross, that we might be true disciples of thee. For we know, Lord, thou didst bear the cross for us. Let us bear our cross for thee. Lord, do remember all those that bear the cross of sorrow and suffering and sickness, and even of solitude, those who sit alone tonight. O Lord, minister to their needs. Now, Lord, bless the word to our own hearts, to, and be with us as we part the one from the other. Take us now to our homes in safety, with thy good hand upon us. Keep us near to thee and much in prayer throughout this week. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.